Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
But how many of you guys are worried about getting nuked by North Korea? Anybody? No? That's good. Because God's in charge. He's in control. And as Christians, I think we've got to focus on being God-pleasers and not people-pleasers. Amen? Because as God-pleasers, we're focused on Him. We're focused on what's going to happen in eternity, where our eyes are focused not just on this life, but on the next life, which is actually a continuation of the spiritual life. But people pleasers, they get kind of upset at the slightest criticism. Do you notice that? Someone who is a real people pleaser just loses it when they can't make somebody happy. And if you live life that way, it's miserable. But if your focus is on pleasing God, there are people that are going to be more than pleased. They're going to be blessed. You're going to bless the people around you because you're going to be focused not on pleasing them. You're going to be focused on God's best for them. Amen? And that is really the situation that we find the apostles in. As they're preaching, and Peter and John, the apostles, are preaching the gospel. And these guys get arrested because they were focused on pleasing God and they were focused on preaching the gospel. They weren't focused on just going with the flow and pleasing the crowd and pleasing the Sanhedrin and the Jewish leaders. And so these guys got jealous. It says they were jealous and they arrested them and they threw them in prison. Let's look at what happened. But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Wow. That's some David Copperfield, Chris Angel kind of stuff going on there, you know what I mean? Verse 24, "Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to," you think? But they didn't get the hint. Verse 25, "And someone came and told them, 'Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, 'We strictly charge you not to teach in this name.'" See, they wouldn't even say Jesus' name. They said, "This name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "Here he is. We must obey God rather than men." Amen? So, people, it's in the Bible. This is where that comes from. Yes, we're to obey the authorities, unless those authorities go against God. And these guys find themselves in this situation, and they get kind of a Jesus jailbreak going on here. You know, they get released by the angels. And what do? They didn't run off home. Because I don't know about you, but I was thrown in jail and somebody broke me out of jail. Even an angel, I'd be like, "Thanks, man." and I would be out of town. You know what I mean? I would want to get out of there because I don't want to get rearrested. But the angel had instructions. Go tell them all the words of this life. And I looked at that phrase and I thought, well, why didn't you say just go preach the gospel? What is the words of this life? That got me intrigued. Are you intrigued? Just nod your head and agree with me. Okay? It makes me feel better. Okay. So I do this Bible study, right? And this is the cool thing about if you guys got Bible software or those apps, you can look up a word and you can do a search. Where else is this word used? This word life that's capitalized in the ESV version, it is Zoe. It's a Greek word. And then when you do a search on that word, Zoe, in the New Testament, and it comes up often talking about eternal life. And this is what's really interesting, is go and tell them all the words of this life. Not just this earthly life here, but this life. He was referring to the life that you're living in Christ. And I thought one of the scriptures where I found this word used is really interesting. It's in Colossians 3, 1 through 3. It says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died and your life, Zoe, your life is hidden with Christ in God. This life, basically, what he's saying is there is a spiritual truth. How many of you guys think that eternal life is just, there's this life and eternal life? You guys are, should I raise my hand? I think the answer is squirrel, but I was going to say Jesus. You know, you guys are so funny. I love watching your expressions. But so this is, a lot of people think there's this life. I'm saved, right? I love Jesus. And then we talk about the afterlife or the next life. But actually, that's probably not the way we should put it. See, we begin living our eternal life right now. When we're born again, we come into a new life. Our life is in Christ. It is the Zoe of Christ. It is the life of Christ. And that's because we have the Holy Spirit within us. We begin to live a totally different kind of life right here while we're still on earth. The problem is we still have this body to deal with. We have the flesh, the desires of the flesh, right? And that kind of work against us. And sometimes we go off course. Yeah. But this life, this life that we're supposed to live, this life that they wanted the apostles to talk about, it is the eternal life. And we're to have an eternal mindset. And some people will say, well, they were so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. No. If you're not heavenly minded enough, you're not going to be earthly good. Because the way to affect this world is to have our mindset on Christ. Not pleasing people, but pleasing God. Amen? So let's look at that scripture again. If you have been raised with Christ, right? We died with Christ. And baptism, by the way, and we're trying to like get a baptism set up, but when you're baptized, when you go into the water, that symbolizes you're dying. You're dying. You're getting buried. Then when you come up again out of the water, what is that? You're coming into a new life. Now you know it's not just a symbol. When you come up out of the water, you know, when you're baptized and you've accepted Christ in your heart, you're actually living a new life. Truth can't always be seen right in front of you, but this is the truth. You are now living in this new life. And so we have to set our minds on things above. And that means putting to death the deeds of the body, right? Last week we talked a little bit about the passions and temptations and things that we have. We're called to live a holy life, a life that is set apart to God. And that's not always easy, is it? Anybody? Oh, yeah, that's got it, Dave. It's hard sometimes. But the thing about living this kind of life, when you live according to the Word of God, when you live according to God's words and His rules and His moral code and His authority, what happens? You begin to stir up opposition. right? When you're a God pleaser, how many of you guys know this? How many of you guys have experienced this? When you're focused on pleasing God, what happens? You tend to stir up opposition. See, these guys trip me out. Okay, let's look at the story. They're getting these guys, the angels come. And by the way, there's about three jailbreaks in the book of Acts. One of them, and angels like taps him on. I always like that. The angels kind of nudge him. Come on, back up, let's go. But they're broken out of jail. The jails are still closed. And these guys are upset. And they just totally bypass the miracle, right? These guys were going, look, they're not in the prison. They were broken out of prison. The Peter and the apostles, they were broken out of prison. But we don't know how it was done because the cells are still closed and they're locked and the guards are there. We don't know what's going on. A normal person would have been like, wow. They didn't go, wow. They thought, they're out preaching in the temple. We told them not to preach out in the temple. Well, wait a minute, sir, did you miss the part where I said that the cells were still closed, they were locked, this is a total miracle that just happened right here, we can't explain it. Yeah, but they're out there, they're teaching in that name, they shouldn't, and we told them not to. I can't believe we told them not to, and they're out there doing it. Sir, are we missing something? Oh, I know, mighty leader, we do not want to offend you, but could you be missing something here? But people do this. Sometimes they had such a jealousy, they were so filled with hatred in their heart for Christ, and they killed him, put him on a cross, and they were so filled with hatred because they were no longer in control. They were no longer in control of the crowds. The crowds now were turning to Jesus Christ. Jerusalem was turning to Jesus. And they had this blind hatred. They could not see truth. And gang, we are in a world that is spiritually blind. People are filled with hatred because they refuse to accept Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, the life. They put him off the side and they dismiss what God does in the lives of Christians, what God does in the life of the church, how the poor have been fed, how people have been healed miraculously, how people's lives have changed. There's so much testimony of what God has done, and yet there are people who push them away. So much so that they get filled with rage when they hear anybody talking about Jesus. You ever hear of the Freedom From Religion Foundation? There's this group of, quote, ex-Christians. And I found out, why are these guys, are atheists, but usually the atheists I used to bump into 20, 30 years ago didn't give a rip about talking about God. They said, well, you believe that, that's good. I don't believe that. They were kind of indifferent. But the atheists today, they're kind of extreme. They're kind of in your face. And not all of them, but they have a lot of them now, they have these groups, and they will go after schools. They will attempt to sue entire schools or districts if they let a student pray at graduation, right? Or a teacher, God forbid, has a Bible on their desk. And you think, this is nuts. This little Manini stuff. But they go after that because they're so filled with hate for the truth. But this is how the devil works. And they don't know they're being used. That's the hard thing. When you're trying to talk to somebody, they don't believe how you believe. You can't really say, well, you know, the devil's using you right now. Because that goes over really well. Oh, you're a little crazy. No, let me explain. And so we've got to pray for our family and our friends. We've got to love them. We've got to love people that are taken in. And we've seen this hatred, haven't we, just this yesterday? What is that business in Virginia? You've got Nazis coming out there protesting. And I'm sorry, but it's not a protest When you bring riot gear, your own personal riot gear, that's called, you're preparing to riot. That's not a protest. What in the world is going on, right? But you can see, that's what the devil does. He divides us, gets us to label each other. That's how you get, that's how you try to go, it's propaganda, it's how you try to destroy an enemy. If you want to go against a group of people, you paint them as evil, right? Oh, pretty much white supremacy and Nazism, yeah, that's pretty evil. I mean, there's no good way to paint that. That's terrible. That's bad. But there's a thing called the identity movement, and they claim to be Christians, which is really cringeworthy because there's nothing Christian about racism. It's it's amazing. But they're out there, and they actually had torches. They had torches. They had torches lit in the park, and I go, you have got to be kidding me in this day and age. But then you have another group come out, right? The Black Lives Matter group. And you have all this, you have violence going on. Now, I've heard two police officers, one person was killed, their car ran into a bunch of people. So we see all this stuff playing out in front of us. And as a believer, we got to know, if we have our mind set on Christ, if our mind is set on things above, if our mind is set on the words of this life, if our mind is set on Christ, our focus is not going to be trying to be politically correct. Our focus is not going to be trying to go with the flow. Our focus is going to be to preach the truth of the Word of God and let God's Word cut to the heart. Amen? Because we're not worried so much about what people think. Now, when I say, it's not that you don't care about what people think, okay? I don't mean the worldly, cathartic person who just says, I don't care what anybody thinks. I want to say my opinion. And that, no, I'm not talking about that. But we got to care so much more about what God thinks. That's our priority. Amen? And then He directs and He guides us. And we're going to get into His Word. We're going to get into prayer. We're going to get with our brothers and sisters in Christ, maybe in small groups, encourage one another. We're going to come to Sunday, hear a word, and be built up. And then when we go out Monday morning, we can affect the world in a positive way. Now, notice they were challenged. They were told to be quiet a lot, yeah? Several times already. But what was his answer? We got to obey God rather than men. There are people in this day and age who are giving their lives for Christ, literally. In the Middle East, obviously Iraq and Syria and different places, you have to be very careful as a Christian. But they've pulled pastors out of houses with their families. They've executed people just for not denying the name of Christ. But also, many Muslims are now turning to Jesus Christ. So in the midst of it, God is doing an amazing thing, but it's hard because people are having to stand for their faith. And Peter, these guys were in the same situation. The Sanhedrin, these religious leaders, they had the power to put them in jail, to have them beaten, even to push to have them executed like they did with Jesus. Now, you and I might not be in a situation like that. Hopefully, as we continue to have the freedoms we do. But the reason we stand for religious freedoms in this country is not to be arrogant or to demand our own way. It's for everybody's sake. Because the moment we lose freedom of speech and freedom of religion, all those other freedoms are going to go too. I think that when you're faced at your job, I remember there was a time when I was working for this guy, or working for a company. It's a rather large office supply company. And I was a manager there, and I would talk to people about my faith. I pulled into the office one time. He said, Dave, you know, you really got to calm down on this Jesus stuff. What? Yeah, you know, this the God stuff and the God talk and the Jesus talk, you really got to kind of be on the down low of that. I said, Glenn, you know I'm a Christian, right? Yeah. Okay. I said, you know what? I promise you this. I will not be doing anything to interfere with the workflow. But if somebody comes and they have a problem and they need prayer, or they're coming and they're asking me something, I'm going to tell them about Jesus Christ. And he just said, okay. Right? What are you going to say? Well, okay. I mean, I didn't pound him and say, Hawaii revised statute states. I didn't come, the EEOC guidelines state. I didn't get in his face about it, about certain things, right? You know, and my rights and all that stuff. I said, look, I'm a believer. I'm going to work really hard for you. But, you know, if a situation comes up or somebody brings it up, I'm going to tell them who I am and what I'm about. Amen? You might be in school. Maybe you're taking a college class, and not everybody has this experience, but you might have a teacher that's just got a thing about Christians, or he's got a thing about Jesus, and he just doesn't like Jesus. And so he might give you a hard time. You know, just be gentle, be loving, but just be bold. You could be both. There's no need for a Christian believer to be brash or arrogant. I see enough of that on Facebook. That's why I don't do a lot of comment. And I go, man, these guys are Christians? It's like I want to cringe and crawl. You know when you just want to crawl under your chair? Some of the comments and things I see. We don't have to be that way. All we have to do is just be gentle, loving, and truthful. And firm, right? But we don't have to brag, and we don't have to be putting ourselves all out there. Hopefully we will never be in a situation in this country, I pray, that where we have to risk imprisonment, or we have to risk death. But I do know in the book of Revelation, it talks about a time where it's going to be rough. It's going to be hard. People are going to have to take the mark of the beast, or take the mark of the devil, basically the world leader, and or they're going to be killed. That's how you buy, sell, or trade. And I know a lot of people get into this, the end times teaching and stuff. But I would say this, however it's going to work out, nothing changes for you and me. Regardless of if you think the rapture is going to happen or when it's going to happen, some people don't think there's a rapture happening, that we're going to go through the tribulation of the church. I don't believe that per se. I believe in the rapture. But however it's going to be fulfilled, however it's going to work out, you and I must tend the vineyard while there still is one. Amen? We must work the fields. The fields are white and ready for harvest. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people that are hating. Haters gonna hate. Where did that come from? I have no idea what that means. People are gonna hate. So what? That should not stop you and I from reaching the hundreds, the thousands, the millions of people that really would be interested in hearing what you have to say. Because there are a lot of people really right here in the islands. You might be here today, and maybe you're hearing this stuff going, you know, I'm kind of hurting. Well, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins that you might have life and life eternally. And you don't have to clean yourself up and become a super religious person in order to receive God's grace. He gives it to you freely. He gives you this gift. He builds a bridge. There is a gap between you and God and hell underneath. And Jesus was basically, by what he did on the cross, made this bridge across that gap that you could walk over that and reach God. And if you want that, you can receive him today. Let's pray, gang.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.